Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to everybody. I'd like to talk about a prevalent question that many have. Certainly it arises in many busy Jewish from metropolises. And that is it permitted ever for a purchaser, a buyer, to outbid somebody else who is honing in to purchase a home? So you have your buyer, your seller, your buying agent, and your selling agent. As a purchaser, somebody's looking at a piece of property, a home, an apartment, whatever it may be, even a car. And, of course, there are limited resources and a scarce amount of homes available in a shul, near a shul, in close proximity to the shul, to the choice restaurants and the like. And therefore, as a result, it's often not so easy to come by a house. So you're aware that there is a potential buyer and there are negotiations taking place between a buyer and a seller. Is it permitted for you to enter the ring? Is it permitted for you to outbid if you know that there's a bid out there? What is the propriety of that? Is it ethically okay? Is it appropriate? And of course, the way we address questions, al pi halacha, is this mutar or asar? The subject of this discussion is a Gemara, Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and it's referred to as Ani HaMahapech Becharara. The Gemara recounts the following story. Rav Gidl Havi Mahapech Behahi Ara. Rav Gidl was negotiating to purchase a certain piece of property. Ozel Rabbi Abba Zavne. Rabbi Abba came along and indeed purchased that piece of property that Rav Gidl was looking to purchase. As a result, Rav Gidl was very disturbed and angry and upset about that and complained to the local Bezdin. The local Bezdin wasn't sure how to paskin and responded, Hamtin at Shiala et Slein L'Regel. Wait until we come back and ask the Rosh Hashiva of all Rosh Hashivas and find out what indeed the Psak is. Is it permitted to outbid and to purchase a piece of property when there already are negotiations taking place between a buyer A and between a potential buyer, buyer A, and a seller? The Gemara says, "Amalei ani mahapich becharara uba'acher v'not lahemenu mai." Let's say a pauper is honing in on a piece of bread and a loaf of bread, whatever it may be, and somebody else comes and snatches it away very quickly. Is that permitted? Is that prohibited? What happens? The ani is so close, the pauper is so close to taking this piece of bread that he wants. Somebody else comes and snatches it. It's not the anis. He's looking to acquire it. He's looking to grab it and to gain it and to eat it. But somebody else quickly comes and grabs that piece of cake, that piece of bread. Is that okay or not? The Gemara says, Amar le nikra rasha. Such a person is called evil, is wicked, and it's inappropriate to do. And therefore, as a result, the Gemara explains that it would be inappropriate and wrong for Rabbi Abba to purchase that piece of property when Rabbi Gidl has already been honing in and negotiating to purchase that piece of property. The Gemara says, if that's the case, that such a person is called a Rasha, how could it be that Rabbi Abba did that? Why would he do something when he would be called a Rasha? Why did Rabbi Abba do this? Didn't he know that Rabbi Gidl was looking to purchase this piece of property? Rabbi Abba said, I was unaware. I was unaware that Rabbi Gidl was looking to purchase this piece of real estate. Hashtanami Nesve Nile, and therefore be appropriate for him to return this piece of property. This is the Gemara of Ani Mahapich Becharara, a pauper who's honing in on a piece of bread. If somebody else comes and snatches it, he's called a rasha. And the same thing is true when it comes to real estate. If there's a buyer and a seller, negotiations are taking place, it would be inappropriate and wrong to go ahead and purchase that piece of property. And there are two reasons that the Rishonim give that one is called a rasha. Number one, you're taking away the livelihood from this purchaser. The purchaser is in negotiations. He's trying to grab something. He's trying to gain a piece of property, whether it's a car, a house, apartment, or whatever it may be, karka or metaltalin. It's inappropriate for you to engage and to obstruct and to interfere with a business dealing and a broker that's already taking place. Number one. The second reason we're showing him say it's not bichlal v'asisa hayosher v'atov. It's not righteous. It's not good. It's not the way of the Jew to interfere with another business deal that is heavily underway. And therefore, that's the reason why you're called a rasha. There are seven halachas regarding Ani Mahapich Becharara that seem to emerge from this Gemara. And this Gemara and this halach of Ani Mahapich Becharara is paskin in Tur, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Shach, Sma, Taz, and all of the classical Nosei Kelim, the Pesachei Tshuva, the Ketzos, and the Nesivos, and Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish, Lamed Zayin. The first thing that emerges is that you see clearly that even if the second purchaser didn't know that he was doing something wrong, Bishoge, he looked to purchase a piece of property, even though he had no intention of outbidding or outdoing or outmaneuvering the first purchaser, nonetheless, it's still wrong and inappropriate and it's still called a rasha. This diuk is made by Moshe Feinstein and Gros Moshe Choshe Mishpat Chelik Aleph Simon Samach, that even though Bishogeg, accidentally, unintentionally, you're going about and trying to purchase a piece of property with all the good intentions, nonetheless, it's still wrong and it's inappropriate to do. And thus, point number two, you're required to return it, as the Gemara says. Rabbi Abba was required to return the piece of property to Rabbi Gittel, even though Rabbi Abba purchased the piece of property, and even though Rabbi Gittel did not make any acquisition on the piece of property yet. So nonetheless, even though it's done b'shogeg, number one, it's still b'chlal ani mahapich b'harara, and you're still called a rush, even though you did it accidentally and unintentionally. Point number two, you're required to return it. Point number three is that the sale is a sale, meaning if the second purchaser purchases the property and he doesn't return the property, the sale is still a valid sale and the second purchaser purchases the piece of property. But you are a Rasha. Not good to be a Rasha. You did not meet Mekayim, the Pasuk of Yasisa Yasha Ratov. You're over on the Isra of Ani Mahapech Becharara. You could be called out in Bezdin. A sign can be put up about you. You can't be held accountable in Bezdin because the sale is valid and it goes through. And the purchaser purchases the piece of property, but nonetheless, he's still tagged a Rasha. Point number four, which emerges from the Isra of Ani Mahapech Becharara, is clearly even if there's no kinyan that's made between the purchaser A and the seller, there's absolutely no acquisition that takes place, not money, not a kinyan, there's absolutely nothing that occurs. They're simply having negotiations. The buyer and the seller are talking. Maybe the negotiations are very serious and very heavy, but nonetheless, even though there's no kinyan, it's still usur. And that's exactly what the Isra of Ani Mahapech Becharara is. Ordinarily in halacha, when it comes to any transaction, a transaction is not concretized until a halachic kinyan is made. There needs to be an absolute transaction, an acquisition. A kinyan could be a kinyan chatzar, it could be a kinyan agav, it could be kesef, it could be shtar, it could be a chazak, the multitude of kinyanim that we have. A kinyan mishich, a kinyan misir, depending if it's karko or metaltalin. But nonetheless, here no kinyan has been made. There's simply negotiations between the buyer and the seller. And nonetheless, it's prohibited to interfere and to outmaneuver somebody even though a kinyan is not made. But when do this rule of Ani HaMahapech Becharara apply? When does it come in? At any point when there are any negotiations taking place, at any time that there's a for sale sign, then it becomes prohibited because maybe somebody is trying to make a purchase, maybe there's some sort of negotiations taking place. So from this Gemara, it seems, and this is the Psak, the Prisha, the Pischei Tshuva quotes it, in Choshe Mishpat Simen Reish Lamed Zayin, it's when negotiations have heated up to the point where it's clear that they are going to emerge and come to a conclusion. They may be haggling between $5 and $10. They may be haggling between $50,000 and $100. But it's clear that if the other party, the purchaser B, doesn't come into the mix, they would make a deal. And the deal would be brokered. The fact that the deal broke up was only because another buyer came into the picture. But Luya Yatsuyar, if it was not for the fact that a second buyer came along, that the buyer A and the seller would have come to terms and could have come to an agreement, says the Prisha, quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, that that's the point when the Isra of Ani Mahapech Becharara applies. It doesn't apply when there's Psikas Damim. The Rama writes that indeed in Siman Reish Lamed Zayin, but the Prisha argues. And that is when the Isra of Mahapech Becharara applies. It doesn't have to be that they agreed to purchase a home for $500,000, $750,000, or $1 million, or $2 million. That's not when the Isra of Mahapech Becharara applies. It applies when there are real negotiations, and the negotiations are so real that it's clear that it will emerge a deal. It might take an hour, it might take a day, it might take a week, it might come a month. But if it was not for the fact that the other party, the other purchaser came along, the deal would have been brokered. That's when the Isra of Ani Mahapech Becharara kicks in. Either for the two reasons that we said, you are shuffling and starting up and interfering and obstructing a deal that's about to go through, or it's not bechlal ve'asisa yashav ha'tov. What is clear, though, that if a kinyan is made, if there is a transaction, acquisition, if it's a kinyan tzitumsa, or if it's any type of kinyan mesira or meshicha, if there's chazak, if there's a contract that's signed by the buyer and the seller, then it's absolutely forbidden al pi halacha for either the buyer or the seller to back out, and certainly it's prohibited for a second purchaser to come in and try to do something. Because when it's aser, even before a kinyan is in play, certainly it'd be prohibited once a kinyan takes place. So thus, if a contract is signed, and not only a meeting of the minds takes place, but there is an absolute contract that takes place. At that point, it is prohibited, al pi halacha, both for the purchaser as well as the seller and anybody else to back out of the deal. There is one critical caveat in the sugya, and that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosfos, Nun Tes Amar Aleph Kiddushin Dibra Maschil Ani, and Rabbeinu Tam says that the Isser of Ani Mahapich Becharara only applies when there's some sort of sale that's taking place, a transaction that's taking place. You're buying something. Because the Svara, why Ani Mahapich Becharara applies, is we say to the second purchaser, go somewhere else. Purchase a piece of property somewhere else. Go buy a car in another lot. Go buy a rental, go rent a car somewhere else. Go engage in business somewhere else. There's already dealings that are taking place between the buyer and seller. Why are you starting up here? Why are you interfering? Why are you trying to obstruct the deal that's in play? However, says Rabbeinu Tam, when it comes to hefker, when it comes to ownerless property, that svara doesn't apply. And therefore, if there's a piece of bread that's ownerless, and if there's a piece of property that's ownerless, then the isser of ani mahapich becharara doesn't apply because he can't say go somewhere else. Because at that point, nobody has any right to that item over somebody else because nobody could get it anywhere else. And therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we paskin that ani mahapich becharara never applies outside of a case where it is hefker. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the isser the mahapich the nakar hacha lo shaych ala dafka kishirotze ani laharviach b'schirus o kishirotze liknos davar acher v'chaveru maktim v'kone. The case that the Gemara is talking about when there's the isser mahapich becharara is when there's a rental, a purchase, a buying, a transaction between the purchaser and the seller. That's what the case of Rav Gittel is talking about. However, im haisa hacharara the hefker, if the piece of bread is completely ownerless, leka iser, there's no prohibition for somebody else to come and take it. Shim lo zacha bezos lo yimtza acheres. Nobody else will be able to acquire this piece of property. The poskim extend this heter of Rabbeinu Tam not only to ownerless property, but to a unique property, to a mitzia, to a steal of a deal, to a home that's so under market value, or to a home that's very, very unique. You dafka need a basement that's going to have an office. You dafka need a home on this block that has two floors. Then there's an argument that can be made that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's like hefker. It's an extension. It's like a mitzia. And indeed, these two opinions, the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, who argues on Rabbeinu Tam, are quoted by the Mechaber and Siman Reish Lamed Zayin. The Mechaber, according to the Nesivos, as well as the Ramah, paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, this complicates matters in the sugya practically of ani mahapich becharara. Because very often a second purchaser will say, this is a very unique item. This is certainly a very unique piece of property. It has a backyard exactly that fits my needs. It has 7 bedrooms and that's the exact amount that I need. It's 5 minutes from the house, it's 10 minutes from the restaurant, and 3.5 minutes from the shul, and 4 minutes from all of my children's friends. And therefore an argument can be made that that's called unique item. And therefore ani mahapich becharara would not apply. As I said, practically, halachically, a shaila has to be asked because it's not so simple. When you apply this heter of Rabbeinu Tam, of hefker, of matana, of mitzia, but indeed the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Graz, the Rav Balatanya in Chosh Mishpat here, Simen Reish Lamed Zayin paskins, that although we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam Iker Hadin, nonetheless, a Yarei Shemayim, somebody who's careful, is meticulous, a Baal Nefesh, as the Aruch HaShulchan says as well, should not paskin like the Kula of Rabbeinu Tam, and better to stay away, not to engage, not to interfere, not to obstruct the deal that is in play and the negotiations that are taking place. It's true, Maker HaDin, you can paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. That's how the Mechaber paskins, that's how the Ramah paskins, that's how the Nesivos paskins, and that's how Rav Gedolei Rishonim and Achronim paskin. But nonetheless, Yarei Shemayim, as the Aruch Shulchan and the Shulchan Aruch Rav say, better to be machmir and not to do this. Therefore, anytime a person wants to outbid a potential purchaser, anytime a person is looking to purchase a home, you're dealing with a broker, you're dealing with a buying agent and a selling agent, it's very, very important to make sure that you're not being over the isser of ani mahapich becharara, even though the sale goes through and the sale is valid. Because even though you don't know and you're unaware, nonetheless, you don't want to be called to Russia. It's not something that anybody wants on their resume and on their CV. So although you can't be held accountable in Bezdin, and the property will not be taken away by most, but they did, and that's the psak. nonetheless a Rasha you don't want to be. However, Rabbeinu Tam extends this psak not only to real estate, but also to employment law. And the Tosfos and Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Nuntes and Aleph, says that the following case also applies when it comes to what we refer to as poaching. And when you want an employee from your competition, an unbelievable employee, and this employee is so terrific, so desirable to you, that you're willing, instead of the first employer paying this employee $20, you'll pay $40 to this potential employee, and you'll poach the employee. And there's a well-known Tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, and Tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelakei, who had this question. And there was a particular butcher in Manchester who was employing a very skilled laborer. The butcher was outstanding and was trained and taught in the butchery and knew the customers and the clients very well and could cut a piece of meat like nobody else. And a new butcher wanted to open up and to poach that employee. And it was clear that poaching that employee would solve the second potential butcher's opening and would really, really create a possibility for him to do well in the business. However, by poaching that employee, the first employer said that my business is going to close and I'm going to be in trouble. Is it permitted for that second employer to poach this employee or not? Is that something that's mutter? Is that something that's aser? So indeed, the Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Hey, Simen Ayin Zayin says that it's all based upon our sugi of Ani Mahapech Becharara and Tosfos and Hefker. And the end of Tosfos Daf Nuntes Amar Aleph says as follows. If a Rebbe is being hired by a parent or a school, and another Rebbe or another parent wants to poach this potential Rebbe, Yachol Liskor Oso Malamid Atzmo, you're permitted to poach this Rebbe. The school or the parent can poach this teacher who's already teaching in another school or another parent's child. The first employer can't tell the second potential employer, go find another Rebbe somewhere else. You don't have to take my Rebbe. You don't have to take my teacher. It's the Mudei Kodesh. It's the Mudei Chol. It's extracurricular activity, whatever it is. Why? Says Tosos, the name alay. Ein Ritzoni Ela Lazeh. Shari Kimidumali Shazayilmar Bini Yafa Mimalamanacher. No, no, no. I dafka want this Rebbe. I dafka need this teacher. This is the teacher that's going to teach my son how to learn a Mishnah, how to learn Pshat and a Gemara like nobody else. This is an outstanding Rebbe. This is an outstanding teacher. It could be in math and science also. In Slimud Echol, it could even be in extracurricular activity. It's permitted to poach that teacher, that Rebbe, because that's the one that I want. It's a unique teacher. It's an excellent teacher. It's an outstanding teacher. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Lamed Zayin Sif Beis Paskins, like this psak of Tosos, quoting the Maram, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, that anytime there's something that's unique, a hefker dika item, a mitzir matana, and so too in the world of employment, if there is an employee who's unique, who's outstanding, and who's an excellent, and who could teach your son, and it's not only true when it comes to a Rebbe, it's true when it comes to a butcher as well, says the Minchas Yitzchak, Me'ikra Din would be permitted for this second opening butchery to poach this employee, this outstanding butcher, to hire him away. However, the Minchas Yitzchak said there are three caveats, that it's not so simple and it's not absolutely permitted. Number one, if the potential employee who is trying to be poached was really, really worked hard to be hired. If the first employer worked hard to find this employee and brought him from overseas, invested in him, taught him the business and trained him and worked for him for 12 years or maybe even less, that particular tshuva is 12 years, it'd be usher. Because Tosu says that's called ani hamahanakef becharara. It's not just ani hamahapech becharara, but it's ani hamenakef becharara. If the ani has really worked hard to gain this piece of bread, or the employer has really invested and worked hard to train this particular employee, at that point it's also for a second employer to poach that employee. That's what's called and referred to as ani hamahapechnakef becharara. And therefore, in this case, the Minchas Yitzchak said it's possible that it's also because this employee has worked at this employer for many, many years, has worked him up to become the employee that he is. He's invested in him. He's helped him. He's brought him from overseas, and thus would be a problem. There's a second potential issue, says the Minchas Yitzchak, that needs to be vetted, and that is that the first butcher says that if this employee goes to the second butcher, Yored Imo Lechayv, his business will close. The butcher will not last, because the uniqueness of this employee, his social skills, his ability to work with the client and to help the client, to help the customers, is so extraordinary that there's nobody who will ultimately purchase by this first butcher anymore. As soon as that excellent butcher moves to the second shop, everybody and all the clients are going to go with that butcher. You're putting the first butcher out of business, and that's Asr. Second reason that the Minchas Yitzchak says that we need to question whether it's permitted for the second employer to poach that butcher. A third issue, says the Minchas Yitzchak, as the Poskim point out, Das Acheres. What does the employee say? Was the employee poached, or did the employee approach the second butcher? Of course, any case of ani hamhapech becharara, the iser is on the second purchaser to do something. But the employee is permitted to do whatever he or she wants. They're not tied. They're not bowed down to anybody. And they're permitted to work for whoever and whenever they want to work and whenever they want to leave. It's up to them. And therefore, we have to find out what the butcher wants and where the butcher is at. And therefore, says the Minchas Yitzchak, because of these three reasons, ani hamenakif becharera, yored imo lechayv and das acheretz, we need to investigate and understand what exactly the case is. But the Minchas Yitzchak concludes with a very important klal, and this is true in all areas of Chosh Mishpat, and certainly in Ani Hamapich as well. What are the communal standards? What happens in our town? What happens in this guild? What happens in this society? It's true amongst the legal field. It's true amongst accountants. It's true in blue-collar work or in white-collar work. It depends what the societal norm is. We always have headhunters. Is it permitted to do this? Is this something that's acceptable in the city and the town to poach? If it's acceptable, and this is the fair game, and this is what happens, then that would be the rule. Minagoker halacha, dina de malchus adina, we would follow that pattern. However, Minchas Yitzchak says, if not, chazer dino lesina, you go back to the letter of the law. And therefore, the Minchas Yitzchak put down this very important klal. You have to see what the common standard is. And it may depend from country to country, continent to continent. It may depend on the particular field, from blue collar to white collar. And even within particular collars, it may depend on the type of work it is. And thus, again, when it comes to anima hapech, when it comes to torturous interference, both when it comes to employment as well as when it comes to real estate, you have to know the way of the world. You have to know the law of the land. You have to know what's customary and what's not customary. Just concluded the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, Evan Ezer, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tzadi Aleph. He's not dealing with employment law. He's not dealing with real estate, but Moshe is dealing with the shidduch. And Moshe was asked whether or not a second man can try to court a woman who's dating another gentleman very seriously. Is that mutter? Is that not mutter? And Ramosha addresses this question based upon our sugya, ani mahapich becharara. And Ramosha says three rules, which all fit into the yesodos that we've developed thus far. If this young man and young woman are dating, but, you know, it's not terribly serious. They've not certainly come to any sikum. They've not come to terms that they are going to marry each other. There may be some financial issues still that are getting in the way. There may be some questions among either sides, the parents from either end. And even the young man and woman, they're not certain. Of course, at that point, it's a free-for-all. It's just like a free market. It's a open market, and certainly at that point to be permitted for a second gentleman to come in and to try to court this woman, that's the woman he wants to marry. However, if the two of them, the chasan and kala, have reached some very serious negotiations, they've reached a point where they're committed to each other, but they have not made an official kinyan. They haven't done anything to absolutely quantify and to concretize the fact that they are chasan and kala. Now, in many communities, and certainly by Yamim Ahim, there were kinyanim that were made, there were tanayim that were made in order to concretize that. And here in this country, Moshe notes that we don't do that. But certainly, at certain point, it's very clear that they go by the name chasan and kala. They may even had an engagement parody, a lechaim or a vort. At that point, they're chasan and kala. But there's no kinyan that's been made. So Moshe says, at this point, it's like ani mahapech. It would reach the point where potentially, if you paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, which the Mechaber and the Ramah do, and if you say, she's the only one for me, she's so unique, she's so special, that this young woman is the woman that I need to marry, I have to marry, then according to Rabbeinu Tam says Rav Moshe be permitted. Nonetheless, if Moshe says Yare Shamayim shouldn't do such a thing, there's a chassan, there's a kala, there are two people are committed to each other, they've come to terms, they just haven't made a kinyan, it wouldn't be the right thing to do. But finally, Rav Moshe says if a kinyan has been made, if they've reached a point where it's absolutely been signified through a transaction or through a kinyan that they are a chassan and kala, then absolutely, positively, it is aser. Thus, we see this is the sugya of Ani Mahapich Becharara, and includes many various areas that are critical and important in Choshen Mishpat, but it's also important to the many different aspects and realities on the ground that need to be taken into account. So Shaila, of course, must be asked anytime you're engaging in poaching and employment, anytime you are trying to interfere, torturous interference when it comes to real estate, and certainly across the board. For more on this topic, there are two excellent tshuvas of Reb Tzvi Spitz in his Mishpatei HaTorah, Chelak Aleph Simen Nun, Chelak Beis Simen Chaf Aleph, as well as in my Sefer, The Making of a Minhag, where I address this issue as well. Certainly, important areas, and just like in all areas of Rechaim Yerodeya, that are practical and real in the areas of Choshen Mishpat as well, when it comes to financial law, when it comes to monetary law, also we have to be honest, upright, and good, and make sure that we are acting in accordance with Halacha. And of course, although these are the broad strokes of the sugya, there are various different issues that come up in every single shayla that need to be taken into account, and no one answer can be given to one question. And of course, that's the reason why we look in the Tshuvas farm and we ask a shayla. Wishing everybody a wonderful day and a wonderful week.